Thank you, choir. If you would, please, I invite you to turn in your copy of God's Word to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Gospel of John chapter 15. We'll be reading verses 12 through 27. Title of this message in John chapter 15 is Christ, our pattern of love at Christmas. Christ, our pattern of love at Christmas. I invite you also to pray with me. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, though we have written throughout human history, though we have discussed, sung, and done multitudes of things about love, we know, Heavenly Father, we cannot comprehend the fullness of love until we meet your Son, Jesus Christ. Have your Holy Spirit move among us, teach us about love, and empower us to share that love with others. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. If you found your place in John chapter 15, we're going to start at verse 12. I want you to see three things about love and our pattern of love at Christmas. Three main points. First point is, love is an active command. Love is an active command. Let's read. John 15. This is my commandment. This is Jesus speaking. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Now, we could park right there for quite a while, but let's go on. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if, or since, you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. The first thing about love that I want you to see today is love is an active command. In fact, love by necessity has to be active. I don't know about you, but as a young person, I was kind of shy around the opposite sex, especially when I was a lot younger. I had crushes. And I'd sit there and I'd look at that little girl and I'd think, man, she's just the prettiest thing I've ever seen. She's just something else. But the thing is, in my immature understanding in love, I never usually acted upon it. I never had the courage to go tell this little girl that I liked her, that I loved her, in my immature understanding. Love has to be active. You can love from afar, and for those of us that are from the South, that doesn't mean in front of the fireplace. You can love from afar, but it does no good. You have to put feet to love. Love is an active command. And to score the point a little bit more, verses 12 through 13 show us that Christ is our example of love being an active command. What does he say? This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Well, how did Christ love us? Well, you say he just loved us. Look at the pattern of love he gave toward us. In eternity past, God knew that man would be created. Further, God knew that he would place them in a perfect place, the Garden of Eden, and that they would be with perfect bodies. And he further knew in eternity past that they would disobey and they would fall. But yet throughout all this, in eternity past, God loved us. Look at it in this light now. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you, even when you disappoint me, even when you disobey me, even when you don't do what I want you to do, I still love you. You love one another as I have loved you. That's pretty deep. Again, we could spend all day on verse 12, but we're not. Christ is our example. Again, look at verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. God, in eternity past, in the form of Jesus Christ, knew that he would leave eternity, that he would come out of the reaches and the realms of glory, and instead of being the worshiped Creator God with the angels singing his praise, he would be born in a barn and laid in a place where they feed animals. And that eventually, because he dared to upset the religious and social powers that be by proclaiming that the kingdom of God was available to everyone, that all could be saved, they put him to death in one of the most cruel, barbaric ways ever devised by man. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And he's saying in verse 12, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to call yourselves Christians, and if you're going to say you have love, love as I have loved, love sacrificially, love out loud. Christ is our example. John later writes in one of his epistles to the churches, in 1 John 2:1-3, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. We have a defense attorney with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation, or the cure for our sin disease. And not for ours only, but for the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. What are his commandments? Love one another. Show my love. Christ is our example in verses 12 through 13. In verses 14 and 15, Christ unpacks something really profound. And I don't want you to forget it. And I don't want you to miss it. But Christ is our friend too. You go, oh wow, I know that. We sing that all the time. Andy walks with me and he talks with me and he chucks me under the chin and we're just buddies. Stop a minute. Examine it in the light of the holiness of God. Christ is offering to be our friend. That's amazing. The older I get, the more sinful I see that I am. And the more I wonder, why would God even worry about me? But Christ here is offering not only to be my advocate, to be my Savior, but to be my friend. Proverbs tells us that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and it's describing Jesus Christ. How often do we betray that friendship? How often do we betray our Savior? Love is active. Friendship as a form of love is active. I have friends back home that when we get together, we can relive old times, and sometimes we probably don't want to relive or discuss. You've got friends like that too. Don't laugh. They know stuff about you, but you're still friends. But the point is, even though you're apart, there was a time that it was active. And when you get back together, it becomes active. Friendship is important. That aspect of love is important. And Christ here is offering for us not to be slaves anymore, but to be friends, to be in the inner circle. Love is an active command. Christ is our provider. Look at 16 and 17. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that where you would go, you would bear fruit. You would bear fruit. Remember, in the Gospels, as Jesus is going on the long road in the weeks leading up to Jerusalem and his final death, he sees a fig tree, and it's not bearing any fruit. And he says, okay, fig tree, you're cursed. Since you're not bearing any fruit, you're going to be pulled down and tossed into the fire. And it happens. A tree, a person, has to be active in bearing fruit, or it's useless. It's useless. There's not many uses for a dead tree. There's not. About the only thing you can do with it is pull it down and toss it in the fire and get a little bit thereof. Love is active in that Christ is our provider. He provides us the means. He provides us the soil. He provides of himself for us to bear fruit. What am I talking about? I'm talking about living a life holy and acceptable before God. Living out loud with our Christianity. Showing love and proclaiming love. This world has enough hate. This world has enough, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that, you're a hater, you're this, you're that. What it needs is not more love, sweet love, but the love of Jesus Christ. Not more sensuality, but Christianity. Not more sex, but Savior. We need the true light of the love of Jesus Christ, and we need to actively do it. Why? Because God has provided us a means and a way. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. This I command you, and I've already provided for you, that you love one another. Love is an active command. Verses 18 through 25, love is often confused. Love is often confused. Let's look at this. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, Christ says, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you? A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know me or the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have not have sinned, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me, and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without cause. Let's unpack this. Love is often confused. In verses 18 and 19, Jesus says something that should be common sense, but isn't. That being different is often being hated. Being different is often being hated. He's just said, you're to love one another. You're to astound them with my astounding love. You're to amaze them by your love for one another and for those that are without the household of Israel, the household of the faithful. You're to amaze them with my amazing love. But he warns them in verses 18 and 19 that being different is often going to be hated. The world doesn't like different. The world likes conformity. The world likes regularity, and the world wants you to go the way they go. The world wants you to be just like them. And if you're not, you're hated. We shouldn't be surprised. Christ told us it would be this way. Peter even reminds them in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. For this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, he warns them to. Supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And he's just getting wound up, folks. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities, Peter says, are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Both John, when he writes Jesus' words, both Peter, both and Paul, and all the other witnesses we have are calling us to live out our calling in a higher manner, in a different manner, knowing that we'll be hated, but we're to do it anyway. Love is often confused because the love we show means that we're different and it means that we're hated. We're also shown in verses 20 through 21 that hate is blind. Hate is blind. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will persecute you. Why are they persecuting the church? Because we show the love of Christ. You mean old Christians, you're telling me I can't have a good time. You're just a bunch of killjoys. You hate me. No, I love you. I love you. I want you to come to Jesus Christ, the purest expression of love that has ever been seen. I don't hate you. I love you. I'm burdened for you. Hate is blind. Hate is blind. Verse 20, he says, they'll persecute you. They won't keep their word to you because they haven't kept my word. Verse 21, they're going to even do it in my name. Yes, I'm going to destroy you in the name of God. It happened. Look what happened to Jesus. Why was he put to death according to the Jewish authorities? Blasphemy. Why did the people stone the first Christian martyr, Stephen? Because he dared to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord? Why were people like Paul and Peter persecuted for causing an uproar, for proclaiming Jesus Christ? Did that stop them? Did that shut them up? No. That doesn't change the fact that hate is blind. Hate is blind. Further, in verses 22 through 25, we see that hate has no cause. Hate has no cause. They have done this, to sum it up, verse 25, because they hated me without cause. You're going to be hated as a Christian. You're not going to be understood because the love of the world is confused. They don't know the true nature of Jesus Christ. They don't follow him. They follow their mixed up, mashed up, easily digestible religion. They don't follow the God of the Bible. Christ says in verse 24, I've even worked among them. They don't have an excuse. They see who I am. Yet, because they're confused, they hate. Where does that leave us? Folks, we got the answer right here. We do. We hear it, we discuss it, we talk about it, I hope, every week. We pray to a God who answers prayer. We pray to a God who is in control. He's warned us that people will hate us, but he's never said, because of that, don't say my name. Because they're going to hate you, you just need to back off and, you know, just, no. We're called to love them actively. Unconditionally. Why? Because he loves us the same way. Love is an active command. Love is often confused, but love is always confirmed. Love is always confirmed. Look at verses 26 through 27. When the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Love is often confirmed. In modern day, we confirm our love in a lot of ways. We show up in a marriage contract or a pre-marriage contract. We give rings. In my lifetime, I've seen a lot of girls get a lot of engagement rings, and they suddenly get helium hands. You know what I'm talking about. Look! I mean, their hands floating up. It's just amazing. But see, that's a confirmation of love. He loves me. He gave me a ring. He wants to marry me. He wants a life with me. Love is always confirmed. Love is always confirmed. God confirmed His love for humanity, not only by creating us, not only by giving us a beautiful place to live, ideally suited. That's not evolution, that's creation, folks. But He sent His Son. He confirmed His love. Love is confirmed in three ways. Verse 26, by the Holy Spirit. What does Christ call Him? The Helper. The Helper. Before this time, you see, men would stumble about and they would hope to hear a word of the Lord from the prophet or from the words of the Lord contained in the law. And at various times, the Holy Spirit would come upon men and endow them with power, like Samson, or endow them with words of prophecy, like Samuel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, and so forth. And then oftentimes the Holy Spirit would depart, like Samson, like Saul. But Christ is promising a confirmation of His love by an indwelling Holy Spirit. This isn't a Jiminy Cricket, let your conscience be your guide thing, but this is an active, real presence in the life of a believer that empowers you, that teaches you, that enlightens you. God's confirming His love by the promise that we see in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit comes down. God's also confirming His love in verse 26 by Christ's example. When the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, that Spirit is the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father. He will do what? He will testify about me. Love is confirmed in our ability to talk about Jesus, in our knowledge of Jesus, in our living for Jesus. I've said it several times today. I want to drive the point home. There is no greater love than the love of Jesus Christ. We're unworthy of that love. We're lost. We're destitute. And by the authority of the Scripture, we actually hate God if we don't have the love of Jesus Christ in us. Love is confirmed by Jesus Christ, by Christ's example. Paul writes, and I won't quote the whole thing, in Galatians 1, 6 through 9, that he's amazed that people are departing from the gospel of Jesus Christ and they're going to another gospel and they're distorting it. He says in verse 8 that if I or an angel of heaven preach another gospel than the one you have already received, let him be accursed. That word there, if you want to sound fancy to your friends, is anathema. It means to be banished, to be exiled. If we're not following Christ's example, Paul says in Galatians 1, 6 through 9, that it's just better if we're totally apart from the people of God. Love is always confirmed by the Holy Spirit, by Christ's example. And in verse 27, by our actions and our words. Verse 27, you will testify also. He's speaking directly to the disciples, but he's also talking to us in 2012 in the United States, in North Carolina, in Goldsboro. You will testify because you have been with me from the beginning, because I've called you, because I've endowed you with gifts, because I've given you the Holy Spirit. Called by our actions and words. first to the world as witnesses, 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense of everyone who gives an account for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Peter's saying, be ready, be ready. Be ready to witness to the world with actions and words of the hope that is within you, of the love that Christ has given you, and not only to the world, but because, again, I've quoted it many times, 2 Corinthians 5:10, that we will give an account of our actions one day. This leads to the conclusion. If Christ is our pattern of love at Christmas, and He is, are we actually following love as an act of command? Are we confused about the love we have of Christ? Are we confusing it for love of the world, love of something other than Christ? And are we confirming it in our life? Where is your love today? As Lisa comes to play our hymn of invitation, hymn number 297. If you have never experienced the love of Jesus Christ, get it right today. There's no better Christmas present than to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To not try to do it on your own, to not try to follow your own way or your own plan, but to follow God's way. Christian, if your love has grown cold for the Savior, get it right today. Please stand and sing hymn number 297. My Jesus, I love Thee. Hymn 297. The altar is open. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, be with each household represented. Allow us to display, to share the love of Christ in this season where we remember the greatest gift you have ever received. Help us to accept